Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Manchester United have a new striker, and he's a lifelong Red. 20-year-old Rasmus Højlund was unveiled to fans at Old Trafford before Saturday's friendly against RC Lens, and it was his first look at the stadium he's dreamed about since he was a kid. A special moment, and plenty more to come, I'm sure, and I hope. A very warm welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you for joining me, Harry Robinson and Jack Tate, as we consider United's most expensive signing of the summer and the latest performances by Erik ten Hag's side in pre-season. You'll also get your regular extensive Academy roundup as United's junior teams compete in Northern Ireland, Croatia, Hong Kong and Altrincham. Plus, we play Guess a Player. There's loads to get stuck into, so let's do it. Starting with that moment at Old Trafford, Højlund coming out. It was just a lovely feel-good moment. And I remember when this first happened two seasons ago, with about five of them. Yeah, Fabio Casemiro last season, Varane the season before. And it was so exciting, and it's something that the club's done in the last couple of years, which I'm such a massive fan of, because it's not something that English teams often do, kind of unveiling a signing to the supporters. We've often seen it with like Galactico signings at Real Madrid or at Barcelona as well, where they'll be kind of unveiled on a special day. I don't think that would quite work in England, having a separate day and event for it, but this is a really nice way to do it that's great for the player and great for supporters as well.
You don't want to see a new signing do some kick-ups on the side of the pitch,
but it's also great for like the kids who at Old Trafford, quite cheap tickets for that Lens game. I'm sure there will have been plenty of kids on school holidays who might not often get to Old Trafford and have now seen one of the moments of the summer.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think it's nice that it's not the norm for every signing. Like you said, firstly, United aren't in the country for most of the summer when signings are generally made. But also, it makes moments like this even more special. And I think what was nice about Højlund is that, you know, the two players that we've had done this with before in Casemiro and Varane, both players that have kind of seen everything in their career, you know, both of them won every trophy under the sun with Real Madrid, coming to United.
Yeah.
It's obviously a big moment and special for them to, you know, walk out Old Trafford and get that adoration for the first time. But it's probably an even bigger moment for someone like Højlund, you know, 20 years old, you know, playing at a fairly big club in Italy for the last year or so, but, you know, going to a complete different level in terms of how big the club is that he's playing for, but also his own sort of personal stardom is, you know, going through the roof to a level that he's never experienced before. So it was a lovely moment for him. And I think probably even more special for someone like Højlund compared to someone like Varane and Casemiro. Harry, you were lucky enough to spend some time with Højlund in the last few days doing his interview for the club.
Yeah.
Read a lot of good things about him over the last couple of weeks. What was he like in person?
Yeah, I was going to say it was a real privilege to be able to do it. And there were a couple of delays, as people would have read in the newspapers. Nothing to be concerned about. Just he had that little injury that I think needed double checking. It means he won't play for a couple of weeks. But yeah, it was a real privilege to do it. And having waited a couple of days, and he had that wait, and he and his family had that wait, it was, I think they just had a lovely day as well. And you do really get that, being able to be there behind the scenes and kind of spend a bit of time with him on camera, and then you're also interacting a little bit off camera, you get that insight into just how mad it is for a 20-year-old who's dreamed of playing for United his entire life to be able to say, I'm a United player. And every time, he gets asked about it a lot because there's social media to do. There's the club interview, which I was lucky enough to do. There was another little interview, which we did, and a few other bits and bobs. He's being asked time and time again, like, how excited are you to play for United and all of this, the standard things you'd ask a new signing. And every time that genuine, authentic kind of buzz that he was feeling came across so clearly, which was lovely to see. And we're not far apart in age. I'm 22, about to turn 23. Højlund's 2 years, well, maybe almost 3 years younger than me. But it was nice because we kind of grew up as you did with the same, I mean, you're a couple of years older, but with that same kind of first great United team of the Champions League winning side in 2008. So it was quite nice to kind of share memories with someone who's about to become United's new striker of the same team and kind of those same childhood memories, which is a real privilege. As for how he was, yeah, lovely. A very, very sound lad too. Family all seemed very good as well. He's got proper like family structure around him. His parents were there. His brothers weren't there because they're back in Denmark playing for Copenhagen. They actually did Champions League qualifier in midweek, which his parents flew back to watch and then came back to Manchester. But yeah, it was really nice and relaxed, and kind of half the job on those things, I think, from the club's point of view. And I kind of just came in to do the interview, not involved with the massive amount of planning that goes into it. But I think from the club's point of view is like making it a special day for the player as well. And obviously Saturday walking out Old Trafford is special without having to put too much into it, but making a kind of relaxed interview setting is also really important for like a 20-year-old making such a massive move. But yeah, he was buzzing. He spoke well, and yeah, very excited to see what he can do on the pitch now.
Yeah, it must be quite an odd one, because you want to make that day as special as possible for Højlund and his family. This is a literal once in a lifetime thing, even for some of the best players getting this kind of big move. But you want to make them feel as relaxed as possible, I bet, as well. It must be not that easy to kind of do both of those things. I mean, like I mentioned, I've been reading a lot about Højlund and his journey. I think the remarkable thing that I just keep coming back to is how quickly his rise has come, given that as a youth player, especially in Denmark, he wasn't really thought to be a really, really special player. I think, they thought he was good, but, the reason he went to Sturm Graz after Copenhagen was because he couldn't break into the first team there. He wasn't really getting starts, and then goes to Sturm Graz, does incredibly well, and so well that he gets bought by Atalanta just 7 months later. It's quite a unique path, I think, for someone to come to such a big club so young and obviously have risen so quickly over the last couple of years, despite really not being seen as that kind of player for a lot of his youth career.
Yeah, and to have risen kind of via two other clubs, from Copenhagen Reserves to the first team, and then Sturm Graz, as you say, for like a really short period of time, and Atalanta. That's three countries, two new languages, three different cultures. He's now having another one. His English is perfect, so that's not a problem. But another culture, you're right. It's definitely a unique path. If someone said, like, what did he seem like as a character? I'd be very confident in saying, yeah, he's very confident in himself. And I thought his idol's Ronaldo, and that came across very clearly. As I said earlier, like, we're a couple of years apart, so I was saying, yeah, my idol was, I always preferred Rooney. I was saying, like, everyone, I feel like every kid who grew up watching that team, the 2008 team, kind of always probably had a preference for one of Rooney and Ronaldo, and mine was always Rooney, his was Ronaldo. And he said, oh, because you're English. And I was like, yeah, fair enough, a bit biased. But He spoke about Ronaldo, and we said, is that because of his mentality? And he said, yeah. And he mentioned, have you seen that clip with Anderson, Rio Ferdinand and Ronaldo, where it's at some random event? It must be 2007 or 8. It must be 2008 if Anderson's there. And the reporter says, who's the best player in the world ever? And Ferdinand says, thinks about it for a while, says Diego Maradona. And then it comes to Ronaldo, and he just very quickly leans into the microphone and goes, me. And Anderson and Rio piss themselves. And yeah, Rasmus brought that up. And I was like, yeah, it's quite like, it's funny, this new generation of players who have grown up with that kind of, in the kind of football content world. And so things like that are now being mentioned by current players of Man United is funny in itself.
Well, we're in a sweet spot with like Højlund's age too, because he's in that age where there was a lot of content around, but United was still good.
Yeah,
a few years we get to the part where there was a lot of content around, but we were terrible.
yeah, that's definitely true.
Who's the best player in the world ever?
For me, the best player in the world ever, Diego Maradona.
Dio.
Me.
For me, Maradona. And he said that's why he loved Ronaldo, because he at least put it out there that he wanted to be the best in the world. It doesn't mean he was definitely going to be the best in the world, but he put it out there. And yeah, Højlund said, I want to be the best version of me that I can be. So he's got that determination, And he said he's buzzing. He's picked up the right English kind of slang already. But yeah, I think some of that interview's out as we're recording. I think it went out just before the friendly against Athletic Club of Bilbao, and then the rest will be out on Monday. So if you want to see that in full, there's some interesting stuff on Eriksen, on Peter Schmeichel, and on Onana actually, and a bit on Rashford as well. He was properly buzzing to play with Rashford and Garnacho. Like he seemed really like properly excited about it, which was cool. And Casemiro Varane, he mentioned a couple of times because like Champions League winners. It was a very cool experience, and yeah, it was good fun. As for him as a player, I mean, we've just been speaking about like his career path and his character, but what do you think of the signing, as forgetting all of that, just on player wise?
I mean, he's an exciting player from what I've seen. I mean, I guess to get the elephant out of the room, it's definitely a very, very expensive price.
Yeah,
but kind of as we say with all of the signings at this point, 5 years from now, if he's had 5, 20, 30 goal seasons, no one's going to care. You know, the price tag only really becomes an issue if the signing doesn't pan out, at which point we have bigger problems than how much money we paid for him. I'm not so concerned about that. Obviously, it would have been great to, you know, get him a bit cheaper, but frankly, it's not my money. I don't really care. I think in terms of him as a player, there's obviously been so much made about the comparisons to Haaland recently, because it is quite funny just how similar they do look on paper, right down to how their names sound. And actually, I think there are some similarities in terms of the play style from what I've seen of Hoyland. You know, very sort of marauding is kind of the word that I would use for him to some degree. You know, especially when he's got the ball at his feet, he's a very powerful runner. Someone who once they get up to top speed is very, very difficult to stop. There was a great piece in The Athletic a few weeks ago, just kind of detailing Hoyland's, you know, profile both as a player and a person. There was an example in there that was really good of Atalanta playing against Lazio last season. And Hoyland picks up the ball kind of on the halfway line, on the half turn. And by the time he gets to the edge of the centre circle, I mean, he's absolutely flying. He basically runs past two defenders. He ends up having his shot saved, but I think was a great indication of what he can bring. I've used this word quite a lot in relation to our front line, and I think it's quite important. I think Hoyland will bring a lot of dynamism to our front line that we've been lacking whenever anyone but Rashford has played up front recently. And, you know, I think if you get a front line of, let's say, him, Rashford and Antony, which I would imagine be the first choice front three, I think there is a lot of combination, a lot of variety in that front line from Rashford's pace and directness, Hoyland's kind of physical presence. He's very good at dropping deep, kind of receiving the ball, linking play, or as I said before about that clip against Lazio, receiving on the half turn and driving at players. Antony is much less direct, isn't going to be someone that will go to the byline quite as much, but much better at kind of linking players. We've seen a couple of times in pre-season, like for his assist to Rashford against Long yesterday. So I think there's a lot of variety there. Obviously, Hoyland is still raw, and technically he will definitely need to improve.
Yeah, but not just that. It's also that his exact style as a striker isn't set yet. And perhaps that's something that Ten Hag likes, because he's played in kind of wide areas for Atalanta. He's played up front for Atalanta. He's played as more of a kind of typical number nine for Denmark. He was saying when we spoke that the roles he's played for Atalanta and Denmark are like kind of as starkly different as they could be for a striker. And maybe that's one of the things Ten Hag looks at. And that's the kind of whole point, isn't it? He's a 20-year-old with those obvious raw attributes, so a massive amount of talent, and those raw attributes that you'd imagine Ten Hag could be thinking, I can mould that into the exact striker I want. And that's kind of...
And at a big club like Man United, this is a properly unique opportunity for Ten Hag. You don't get young strikers really at big clubs unless they come through the academy. I mean, the last one United have had is Martial, who ended up playing kind of half on the left, half as a number nine. Before then, I mean, it's probably Rooney is the last young striker that United bought in. You know, this is a really unique opportunity, not just for Hoyland, but also for Ten Hag. Like you said, to be able to mould a number nine in his image and not be one of these players that's kind of towards the end of their career where, you know, they're very set in their ways and United kind of have to adapt to them. Now Hoyland can also adapt to what Ten Hag wants.
And it's worth kind of just reflecting on that. Is it not so like nice, but also just so exciting to have a young striker and a young player in a transfer that didn't drag on for too long, like Jadon Sancho, where it kind of felt like it was 2 years in the making, to have like a young striker, a transfer that was done relatively quickly, like a lifelong fan of the club makes it more exciting as well. And all those raw attributes, it just is exciting. It makes you optimistic and it's lovely. But it's worth kind of having a look at the comparison with Marcello Maroni, because you're right, he's the first under 30 striker signing since Lukaku. But Lukaku had massive experience when he joined United, and he's much more similar to Martial. And Martial like exceeded expectations in his debut season with that 17 goals in 49 games. Even if you look at Rooney, it's also a 17 goal debut season in 43 games. Rooney scored 19 in his second season. It was only in his third season that he got past that 20 goal mark, that kind of career defining 20 goal mark. So they were both signings for the future in the same way that Højlund is a signing for mainly for the future and a little bit for now. And that patience is going to be needed. But I think the point you made about Martial kind of being split on the left and up front, it also applies to Rooney a bit, who didn't really have a set position ever at United over a very long career. Whereas Højlund's coming in and will play up front as the centre forward, because we now have the quality on both the left and the right. The right, people will say there's a bit, Antony needs to step up a little bit and do better, but Antony is United's right winger, Garnacho and Rashford are United's left wingers, and that's kind of that. And so that, I think for the first time in, I think this is the most stable the team has been for a talented young player to come into United in a long time. And that's what's needed, because people kind of joke at the moment that United's become kind of a graveyard for young talents, and they've really declined. I hope, maybe it's too optimistic, but I don't think that's the case anymore. I have the confidence in Ten Hag's ability to improve Højlund, but also it's just that stability. He is going to be a centre forward for United. He might not be United's starting centre forward every week, but he won't be having to swap from left to right to centre forward as Rashford had to do, as Martial had to do, as so many young players have been moved about to cope with. Kind of, we've been putting out fires for too long and we're not quite doing that anymore.
Yeah, I think, you know, stable is absolutely the key word here. It's not the case, I don't think, that, you know, United clearly still have a long way to go to get to the level that we want to be. That hasn't changed after Ten Hag's first season, but things certainly are a hell of a lot more stable at the club. Both, I think, from Ten Hag's point of view, he has cemented his authority. We talked about this a lot last season, quicker than any other United manager post to Alex Ferguson. And I mean, maybe Mourinho did too, but with Mourinho, you always have that worry about it becoming too much about him and becoming a toxic atmosphere, which is a worry that I don't think we have with Ten Hag. And it is a squad that in general is becoming a lot more stable. You know, I mean, we, in the last episode we did, you and I sat and we were able to kind of rattle off a pretty confident, you know, 10 out of 11 yeah. names for a starting 11 at the start of the season. When was the last time United have been able to do that? You know, and all of those players that we listed in that starting 11 have, you know, clearly defined roles, clearly defined positions. And Højlund coming in, like you said, there's no ambiguity about the role or the position that he's coming in to fill.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to be fair, I think that's been a theme throughout all of Ten Hag's signings as well.
In terms of, it's a shame that Højlund's injured, comes in with a little bit of an injury and won't start for a few weeks. We'll see if he's back before the international break. It's kind of a little unclear at the moment. I think the club have said a few weeks. So that could be 3 weeks. It could be like 2 weeks, or it could be five. Who knows? We'll see. That's a shame. But I think so much of his start at United will be pressure related. And we're speaking about Martial and Rooney earlier. Well, Martial started with an iconic substitute goal on his debut against Liverpool. Rooney started with an even more iconic Champions League debut hat trick. So when we talk about pressure for young players, and you kind of need to get the goal scoring monkey off your back early on. So we'll see if Højlund could do that. I think the other problem is, I'm very confident in Ten Hag's ability to improve Højlund, as we've seen with Rashford and Wan-Bissaka is a great example. I think the difficulty is the team still feels a goal scorer short, and so much of keeping the pressure off Højlund in this debut season will be having goal scoring from across the team. Rashford's had a brilliant season last season, and I'm very confident. I really enjoyed his interview with Gary Neville on the overlap. I thought it showed him in a very relaxed way, and he said a load of really interesting things, and he spoke really well. So I'm confident about him. But you're looking at Rashford needs to maintain or better that 30 goal contribution. You then need massive improvement goal scoring wise from all of Garnacho, Sancho and Antony. You probably need Bruno to maybe add a few more. Mason Mount's going to have to provide a few, but there's still quite a heavy reliance on Rashford and then now on Hoyland as well, which I think we're just a little bit short at the moment. Because a 15 goal debut season for Hoyland would be brilliant. When you're looking at 17 for Marshall and Rooney, 15 would be fantastic. So yeah, we'll see. So I think that's kind of my concern, is that the team's a little bit light on goals at the moment. Where they're going to come from?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And to be fair, we've seen that in pre-season as well. Not to read too much into that, but it's a continuation of what we saw at the end of last season and the worry that we've had going into this year. Hoyland will undoubtedly help with that, obviously, but I mean, if you look through his career so far, he's scored goals in bunches, which is quite typical of a lot of young players. You know, they go through a run of really good form. They have a few lean games that maybe where it's hard to recapture it. With Hoyland, you've seen, I mean, at Sturm Graz, it was a little more consistent, but even there, he kind of hit the ground running and then he continued to score goals for the rest of the season, but not at the same rate. In Atalanta, he started well, and when he got into the team after the World Cup, I think he scored something like 3 in his first 4. And then the rest of the season, he didn't go off the boil, but the goal scoring did dry up a little bit, which is something that I think you'll probably see from Hoyland. Wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, him hit the ground running, score, you know, 4 or 5 in his first 6 games, and then maybe not score for a month. And that is just the norm for young players. I think what you're looking for really is Rashford, like you said, to still be the main source of goals in this team. And then if you can get 15 goal contributions from each of, you know, Sancho, Antony, Garnacho, Bruno, I think that's what you've got to be hoping for. We need that quartet to offer more than they did in terms of goals and assists last year. Yeah. I mean, Bruno Fernandes is probably the one you'd say if we got the same season out of him, that'd be okay, given because his numbers would go up if the rest of the team could improve their finishing because of the amount of chances he created. But Sancho and Antony are the big ones, I think.
Yeah, I think one of the key benefits of Hoyland, regardless of his goals, and this will hopefully we won't be having to kind of, I don't know, resort to this argument if he's having a bit of a dry spell at the start. But I think it is true. And I'll say it now before it happens so it doesn't look like I'm making excuses for him. But just having a hopefully reliable centre forward, not necessarily reliable in terms of scoring every game, but having a set centre forward so that Rashford can kind of have that left forward position and Garnacho can come in when necessary. Just having more, as we said earlier, stability to the team. But I think with Rashford, for example, you can then hope that he can continue having those really good purple patches, which he showed a few times last season. But to get them, you need a bit of consistency in your positioning. And too many of United's forwards haven't had that because Martial was unavailable most of the time. So Rashford was flipping between positions and that kind of thing. I also think like a lot of the criticism we had of players last season, like Antony and Sancho, was the lack of decisiveness, the kind of hesitation. It seemed sometimes we weren't 100% clear on what we had to do, and having a set centre forward should make that easier. So we'll see. We'll talk a bit about final pre-season games after our Patreon Q&A. But before we go into our Patreon Q&A, where we're going to talk a bit about the Mason Greenwood situation, about goal scoring and about realistic aims for the season and a couple other bits, let's have the first guess the player clue, please, Jack.
All right. So the first one is, I was part of 3 Premier League winning squads, but I only have 1 medal to show for it.
Oh, interesting. My immediate thoughts are they a goalkeeper who played kind of got enough games in one season, possibly when Van der Sar was injured for a long spell of time in the late 2000s? And would it have been Thomas Kuzak coming in? I'm not going to guess yet anyway, but yeah, that's my immediate thoughts. We'll have the second guess player clue when will we have it? After we talk about pre-season. But before all of that, let's go into our Patreon Q&A. If you want to sign up for as little as £1.50 a month or as much as £10 or £20 a month, if you really want to help support the show, you can go to our Twitter at @UTDweeklypod. That's POD at the end there for information about how to do that. But let's dive in now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, back from a Patreon Q&A with some quick season predictions about the Champions League. We spoke about Mason Greenwood and how our feelings on the potentially upcoming decision that the club has on that sense about goal scoring, realistic aims for the season, about the Champions League, loads of things. It was a really interesting chat. Let's talk about the recent pre-season matches. We're recording as United are playing in Dublin. Nothing huge seems to have happened in that game so far. United are trailing 1-0 at half-time, but yeah, you'll be listening to this long after anyway, so we're not talking about that game. We haven't recorded since we played Real Madrid and Borussia Dortmund in the US and Lons at Old Trafford. What's kind of been your biggest conclusions? Or I know you don't necessarily like to call them conclusions, but what's been the biggest things you've noticed in these pre-season games?
Thanks for putting the caveat there for me. Since Onana has come in, I think it has really been noticeable. He's kind of lived up to everything that we expected. And I think United have been, whether we're better at building up from deep, I don't know. I think that's kind of hard to tell just yet, but certainly much more willing to build up from deep, to keep the ball in tight areas at the back. I noticed, especially against Lon on Saturday, a lot more rotation in the back line between also the back five, between the back four and Casemiro. You know, Martinez would push forward a little bit. Shaw was coming inside a lot. He was making a lot of runs where if Onana had the ball, Shaw would kind of go into midfield to offer as an option, kind of past that first line of defence that Lon had. But then if the ball went into Martinez, he would make a big sort of recovery sprint almost out to a more traditional left-back role to then receive the ball off Martinez. I've seen a lot from United since Onana's come in terms of better patterns of movement, better rotation, like I said, between that kind of back five. So like I said, it's kind of hard to say it, whether we're actually better at playing out from the back, because we did lose the ball while playing out from the back quite a bit against Lon too. But we definitely seem more willing to take that chance. And I think that is kind of what we expected from Onana. I think you're seeing a little bit more kind of ability to get around the pitch without meaning to oversimplify it with Mount in midfield. I still think that Mount's role needs to be slightly more clearly defined. I think he's actually done relatively well in pre-season, but I still think there is more to come from him in terms of figuring out where exactly he's going to be best in that midfield. And then probably the other one for me is that Garnacho has been brilliant, and he was brilliant against Lon on Saturday.
Yeah, I think Garnacho, it's recency bias, but from the Lon's game, I'm just so excited. He looks so sharp.
Yeah.
And not only does he look sharp, but his decision-making and the way he's getting his head up and making the pass a bit earlier than he might have done last season, and a little bit stronger as well. Yeah, really excited. He looks, it's that kind of development you get with young players where they kind of start to shift from looking like a young boy talent who's doing really well to looking like a proper Premier League footballer. And he's nearly at that now. Yeah, I'm so excited about him, and I'd start him in the first game because he looks so sharp. Bruno looked really sharp against Lons as well. I think everyone else had a slightly dodgy first half. Onana made, ironic, but also kind of summed Onana up that minute just before he conceded the goal, which wasn't his fault, but it's a consequence of his starting position, which will benefit United in general, but I'm sure that will happen to him a couple of times throughout the season. He'll get lobbed from far out, or at least the player will try it. The Lons player did brilliantly to actually pull it off. It was Dallow's back poor pass that did the damage. But just before that, Onana had done a lovely little, I think it was it a chest down or a head down into the path of a player. We've seen kind of the good bits. We've seen a mistake already, and that's kind of what's going to happen, isn't it? But I'm sure he'll be a net positive. And I think you're right about Mount. That's still kind of being worked out. The only other thing that we haven't mentioned, because it hadn't happened but last time we recorded, was Kobbie Mainoo's injury, which is a real shame. And the same for Ahmad as well. But Ten Hag's shown such faith in Mainoo and has spoken since with that same belief and faith. So I'm sure as soon as he's back from injury, we'll start to see. I think last time we spoke, expecting him to get 10 or 15 starts in all competitions this season, I expect, 10 is still very, very possible. And who knows, if he takes the chance properly, it might be more than that. It kind of depends whether we sign another midfielder as well, which I feel like the kind of talk on that has subsided a little bit in recent days. So we'll see. Anything else big from pre-season before? In fact, let's have Guess a Player Clue 2 first. If you can remind me and everyone else what the first clue was, and then give the second clue as well, please.
So the first clue was short and sweet. Second is a lot more convoluted. Christ, so the first one was, I was part of 3 Premier League winning squads at Man United, but I only have 1 medal to show for it. So then the second is, during my 6 years at the club, I scored 2 goals in the Champions League. Both of them came in the same season, both against teams starting with P, and one of them was against a manager who would later go on to manage Manchester United.
Wow, there's a lot there.
And that was in, I can give you the season, that was in 2003-04.
Okay.
So I say that again. So yeah, during my 6 years at the club, I scored 2 goals in the Champions League. Both came in the 2003-04 season. Both of those goals came against teams starting with the letter P, and one of them came against a manager who would later go on to manage Manchester United.
Did you say 6 seasons?
6,
and you were part of 3 title-winning squads. Okay, wow.
There's a lot of small nuggets in there.
I feel like I should get it from that. I'm just trying to kind of piece everything together.
So I reckon if you take some time, I reckon you'll be able to piece together who goal was scored against. But I don't know if you'll remember who scored the goal that I'm talking about.
Well, it was against Mourinho's Porto is one of them.
Yeah.
But
the other goal was against Panathinaikos in the group stage.
Okay. I think I've got a couple of options in my head, but I'm going to have a little bit more of a mull over, and then I might give you a guess before clue 3, or I might wait. Is there anything else from pre-season that has stood out to you? I guess the Wan-Bissaka Dallow one's interesting. It's not quite clear who's going to start the season, is it?
Yeah. No, it's not. For me, I think there are two positions that I think are still up for grabs. One is right back, Wan-Bissaka Dallow. Dallow didn't have his best game against Lyon yesterday. United are playing now, so I haven't been watching the Bilbao game as much as I normally would, but Wan-Bissaka is starting. That is a big battle. And then the other one, actually, Michael Byatt's one of our patrons messaged me on Twitter yesterday about, you know, what do we do with Garnacho now that his part of the game time is still relatively limited, but he obviously has looked so good. And I think the big one for me with Garnacho is I want to see him above Sancho in the pecking order to start the season.
I think he will
and
be
that
as
can
well.
Change depending on how Sancho's form goes, but I'd be disappointed if Garnacho doesn't start against Wolves, given that, you know, with Hoyland injury, Rashford is very
likely to
start.
I think interesting that Sancho was used centrally again. And I wonder, we spoke about that a bit last season, didn't we? About whether he'd be potentially number 10 or a different option to Fernandes for number 10. Whether United are going to have a number 10 this season in a traditional sense, I don't know. Not really, is what I think. But I'm sure there'll be times where Sancho plays centrally. And I think that makes sense given where we've seen the weaknesses in his game.
Yeah, it was a big thing that when he came on for Garnacho against Long, and then he went into the central part of the pitch, and Fernandes and Mount were the ones that kind of rotated to go and play out wide.
Yeah, so that's interesting. I think that's probably it. I'm going to give you a quick youth roundup because to start with, the Premier League 2 fixtures are out. United's under-21s open their season at Crystal Palace on the 14th of August. The under-18s start the season a couple of days before, And United know, I think I mentioned this last week, but we know our EFL Trophy opponents, and we start with Stockport County on the 22nd of August. I think that's a Tuesday night, the 22nd of August, 7:30 PM kickoff at Stockport County's Edgeley Park. I can't remember whether the tickets are available now or they're about to be available, but I'm going to try and get to that. It should be good fun. I think there's a real good feeling around Stockport as a club at the moment. Obviously, it's slightly different in the EFL Trophy, but yeah, if people are interested in going to that, that's on the 22nd of August. The other two teams in the EFL Trophy group are Bolton Wanderers and Salford City. What else is there? The under-21s played Altrincham in the first of two official pre-season friendlies, the second being against Chester on Monday night. Travis Binion's side lost 2-0, two defensive errors. Altrincham were very sharp. It was their final pre-season fixture, so there's no surprise in that. Isaac Hanson-Aaron was United's standout player. He's been involved a bit in pre-season, well, quite a lot in pre-season, actually. And if people don't know about him, he's a young, very technically gifted midfielder, quite small, has a wonderful ability to kind of dictate the tempo and shift the tempo a bit. He keeps possession very well. He creates some incredible kind of defence splitting passes that he's managed. He's one of those really interesting ones where it's quite hard to see a path through at United, but he's clearly a really talented player. He's still fairly slight. But United worked really hard to sign him. Olegan and Solskjaer played a key part in that, being a compatriot of his, both Norwegian. But yeah, it's interesting to see what his progress is like. United also competed in a couple of international tournaments at the Super Cup NI, which was formerly the Milk Cup. Neither the under-18s or under-16s won those competitions, but some great experiences. And United played Robin van Persie's Feyenoord in the final of an under-19s competition in Croatia on the morning, Sunday morning, the day that we're recording. Some incredible games in that. United beat Monaco 3-2. They drew with Udinese and then had a ridiculous 5-4 comeback against Dinamo Zagreb. Three goals in 10 minutes to come from 4-2 down. Kind of similar names shining in that tournament that you would have heard me say throughout last season, in Shea Lacey and Jace Fitzgerald, two very young players playing above their age groups. Victor Musa also doing well, and Jack Morehouse as well. But Eli Harrison, who was named goalkeeper of the tournament, a very modern style goalkeeper. But yeah, Van Persie managing Feyenoord's under-19s defeated United. The under-16s, meanwhile, are on a training camp in Hong Kong. A couple of games lined up there, so that's a great experience as well. I think that's it for the youth roundup. Not many loan deals so far for United. Will Fish has gone back to Hibernian, but I think that's it. We'll see if there's any more movement on that going forward. Now, Jack, I think I have an answer for you on Guess the Player, but...
Okay.
I'm going to text it to you and you can give clue three while I'm doing that, so that I don't ruin it for anyone who hasn't got it yet. So you can start saying it and I promise you I won't change my... I've texted it now anyway. Off you go.
All right. So the final clue is... Well, I'll give a reminder of that second one since it was so convoluted. So during my 6 years at the club, I scored 2 goals in the Champions League. Both were in the 2003-04 season, both against teams starting with P. And one of them was against a manager who would later go on to manage Manchester United. So that was the second clue. The third one is, I am the only player of my nationality to represent Manchester United.
And the
Harry,
answer.
Does that confirm the clue, your answer?
Yeah, I think so. The answer is Quentin Fortune.
That is right. Yeah.
The trouble I was having is I couldn't remember. It took me a while to remember who'd scored those goals. And then I thought it might be Diego Forlán for a bit, but then the sixth season put me off on that one. But so much information there. And yeah, it was still, it kind of made it almost harder to pick it all out. But once you had separated it all into individual facts.
I realized as I was reading it the first time, I didn't mention the year. I was like, that's going to be impossible if I don't give the year. I think once you got that, it took some time, but you can sort of narrow down.
Before you said the year, I was just trying to think of European teams beginning with P and desperately thinking about who we might have played in the same season. Yeah. Quentin Fortune, who is by all accounts a lovely man as well.
Yeah. Still goes to Old Trafford a lot as well.
Yeah. Well, I think that's it for this episode of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, everyone, for our thoughts going forward. We'll be back very soon to preview the Wolves game, the first Premier League game of the season, on Monday night, 8 PM, 14th of August. But before then, until our next episode, you can find Jack's thoughts on Twitter at
UTD Tate, TAIT.
And you can find me at Harry Robinson 64 and the podcast itself at UTD Weekly Pod, POD at the end there. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful start to the week. Goodbye.
Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.